What's up, everybody? This is Healing Intentions, and I'm your host, Dr. Adrian Mimetti. This podcast is about natural health and wellness, mental health, cannabis, psychedelics, philosophy, and spirituality. Today, my guest is Jorge Contreras. Jorge, a real estate investor and coach, is passionate about helping people create time, financial, and location freedom with Airbnb and real estate investing. He retired at age 29, became a millionaire by 30, and now earns multiple six figures with his Airbnb business. Let's get started. All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Healing Intentions. This is your host, Dr. Adrian Mimetti. And today I have a very special guest, one of my recent good friends that I've made. Just the divine intervention of the universe that I saw a random, I think, Instagram ad, and Jorge Contreras, Airbnb expert. I saw, wow, something feels different about this guy. He seems really genuine. Went to his webinar, got to know him, signed up for his Airbnb coaching program. And then he mentioned MITT, which has totally just like changed my life. And so here we are, man. Welcome to the show. Really glad to have you.
Awesome, Adrian. I'm very excited, and it's truly an honor and a pleasure to be here. Appreciate the invite.
Awesome, man. Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we just start by a little, just kind of like background. Tell us your journey, you know, and the different things you've been involved in a high level, you know, up until this point, and then we'll kind of dig deep into them all.
Sure. You want me to start from like from my dance career into real estate, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So I became a dance instructor, a professional dance instructor, teaching bachata in LA, and then eventually all over the States and all over the world. I got to travel to over 25 countries. And that opportunity came about when I was in community college and I joined the salsa performance team. And my salsa partner actually introduced me to bachata. I fell in love with the music, the rhythm, everything about it, the culture. And yeah, I started learning about it. And then from there, I eventually started teaching, met my first dance partner. We started to create a few opportunities to travel out of state. And, you know, back in those days, I'm not sure if it's the same today, but if you missed three times, they would withdraw you from the class. So I had to make a decision. Do I want to stay in school and do I'm not sure what, or do I want to follow my passion of dance and then start to build a business? And so, like I say in my book, I jumped off the mountain building an airplane on the way down, quit community college. I dropped out, I quit my job, and I went all in on dance. And it was an incredible, almost a decade of my life, a great chapter of my life. And I was doing really well financially, but I was lacking time. And I think a lot of people today can relate. They might have a six-figure, multiple six-figure job career, but a lot of people don't have time, and time is that one thing you can never get back. And so I was working, you know, back in those days, I had this belief, this limiting belief of work hard equals success. So I was teaching 14, 16-hour days, disrespecting my body, not paying attention, ignoring my intuition. And it got to the point where over the course of 3 years, I developed a herniated disc in my L5-S1 in my back.
Yeah.
At the very end of it, I couldn't walk. It went from I couldn't work out to I couldn't run to I couldn't walk to I couldn't stand. And then I was laying on the ground and I was like, wow, this is my life. And I was 24 years young.
Wow.
And that's when I realized, I'm like, man, there's gotta be another way to, you know, we're playing this game. It's almost like we're all living this real life sort of monopoly in some ways, where you have to like generate an income unless you like live in the Amazon or something. Mm-hmm. And so like, there's gotta be a different way to play the game where I'm not trading time for money. And so I slowly started getting into real estate investing in 2012, same year I got my back surgery. And, yeah. And then I got into Airbnb in 2017. I left everything that had to do with dance. And then in 2017, I basically became financially free through Airbnb. In 2018, retired my wife. So letting go of my dance business was essentially like letting go of my 9-to-5 because it always needed me to be there. Mm-hmm. Then in 2018, we added another 6 figures of cash flow. And that's when my wife retired from her criminal justice, law enforcement career, where she got a degree at Long Beach State University. Mm-hmm. And people kept asking me on Instagram, hey man, like, how do you do this Airbnb thing? How do you get started? And so I started, I just thought like, why don't I just build a group coaching program and I could teach 20 people at the same time instead of one at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's how the real system was essentially born. And now it's been, it'll be 3 years actually in 2 weeks that the real system was born. And now we've had over 2,000 people go through the program. We've helped so many people go from full-time to part-time or become financially free, spend more time with their kids, be able to travel and just start working for themselves, their own last name. And it's been quite the journey.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, man. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, I can tell you for myself, I don't have an Airbnb yet, but what it's done for me being in the program is I knew what it would do. It's all about the mindset, right? And I knew a lot of this stuff already from the past, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Tony Robbins and all of these different things, but it's about the action. It's about the mindset of like believing in myself enough and believing my self-worth and all these things I learned through MITT, you know, self-love and all these things. Like, wow. You know, I knew all of these things, but I just didn't believe in myself enough to go out and actually like find partners and do things and make things happen and talk to landlords and do this stuff. And now I have that. So it's just like, I knew by being around you and your, you know, and Edgar and all the different people that it's that you are who you hang out with. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting. You know, I've paid for mentorship and programs. Like I remember one time, I invested $30,000 into an apartment mentorship program. Mm-hmm. And I never got into the apartment business, right? But the people that I met, the networking, and man, like I got so much value just from even just seeing the way they ran their business, the coaching program, the people that I got to meet. And so sometimes, even though you may not get that result yet or ever, there's so many other ways, right? Like, again, you found transformation through coming through the real system. And like that alone, right? It's like a, just life changing. It's priceless. You can't even put, there's no ROI. There's no ROI to that.
Yeah.
It's just a priceless experience. And again, like the people you meet. And so, you know, sometimes that's what it is. And, you know, yeah, man, I'm really glad that you came. And on the first night when I talked about MITT, it was really impressive that you went home that night and signed up immediately. No questions asked. And you're in the program now. And everything I've heard, right, it's just been an incredible experience. And as I just mentioned before we started, I graduated 5 years ago. And still today is by far the most powerful training I've ever experienced in my entire life. And the way I continue to live my life is as if I was still playing the leadership program.
Wow. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, our head trainer right now in the LP program is Timbrell. And she said that she makes a new LOA for herself every 4 months. And she's been doing that ever since she, you know, did LP, whatever, how many years ago. So it's just like, that's a pretty good way to continue living, you know, your life. And yeah, man, I think there's a lot of benefits to it. People really, you know, check it out. And there's lots to gain from it. As you can well attest, and you write about even in your book and, you know, your life results and everything. So yeah, man, it's, you know, what I've realized, like you said, it's about that time freedom. There's so many people that make so much money, but they don't have time to enjoy it. And, you know, one of my uncles passed recently and he made a lot of money in his life, you know, but you know what he said to my mom on his deathbed? So what that I made all this money? I didn't get to enjoy it. You know, he's like, enjoy your life, live your life. And that's what I'm grateful for my parents of really learning. Like my dad's been all about traveling. I've been to 33 countries in my life because of my parents, you know? And so I'm very grateful and blessed. And, you know, I get to share that with everybody else.
It's almost more countries than years of life.
Yeah, I know, right? It's pretty awesome.
I think that's amazing. I think there's so much to learn when you travel, and just learning about different cultures, and just about, you know, just going out there and exploring and being in a different adventure and trying different food, meeting different people. Like, there's such a powerful component to that experience.
Yep, absolutely. And just seeing things from a different perspective, you know, going to Asian countries, China and Japan, I've been to, it's a whole different world over there. You feel like you're in just a different world. I mean, in a lot of ways, it literally is. You know, there's no English like at all. Everything is foreign looking. You know, it's all just different characters. You're just like, whoa.
Was there like cameras everywhere when you were in China?
Yeah, cameras everywhere. And also a lot of people wearing masks already. This was years ago because the air quality was so bad. Right. You know, they said that there's the air quality index, whatever. When that number is above 50, they advise you to stay indoors. When we were in Shanghai and Beijing, it was 350.
Wow.
There's people in their 30s dying of lung cancer. It's like, oh my goodness.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Wow. Something's got to be done.
Yeah. No, and I think it has improved since then. This was like 8 years ago, but, you know, it's a wake-up call of like, hey, people can't be living like this, you know? But yeah, man, I'm curious about... You also were involved in the nightlife industry, right? Like nightclubs and things. Like how was that? And, you know, what was your experiences? What did you learn out of that? What was that like?
Yeah, the nightlife. It's funny because when I was, I think, 15, me and a friend started a party crew.
Oh.
That's when the nightlife began.
Wow. I love
and,
it.
And it was a very popular thing. In like Orange County, LA County, to be a part of these different party crews, and people would, you know, spray paint their shirts and dress a certain way. And then there'd be house parties and people would be consuming Nas. Remember Nas?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I was 15 and me and this guy were like we used to call it the main heads of the party crew. And all we would do is throw parties, charge a door cover.
Yeah.
Sell Nas, right? And so that was kind of like how I first got my feet wet in the night party life. And that was like, you know, 3-4 days a week. And then fast forward to when I started my dance business, I started the first bachata nightclub at a restaurant called Steven's Steakhouse in LA. That's been around longer than Disneyland. And it was already the most established nightclub for salsa dancing. So when I went in there, I started the bachata side of it. And I did that for 8 years of my life. And same thing, right? On average, 4 nights out of the week, I would run these events. And I'd be there from, you know, 6, 7 p.m. till 2, 3 in the morning. And, you know, it was a great experience. Honestly, I learned so much, you know, as a promoter, as a business owner, just providing a great experience. Like, I remember people would come in. And I could just tell through conversations, people were like, it could have been the Pizza Hut delivery guy who was just, you know, super tired and overwhelmed and stressed out. But then he would come to Steven's Steakhouse to dance and nobody knew he was a pizza guy. He was just blend in. And so you kind of got to start from like a clean slate, nobody to judge you and just dance and have a good time. And it was really awesome. Again, a great, great chapter of my life, but you know, just eventually I wanted to, you know, get married and have kids. And I didn't want to have a lifestyle where I needed to be out every evening and be out till 3 a.m. And again, everything pretty much led to entrepreneurship, real estate, and Airbnb. Everything pointed in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And like, it's funny you mentioned non-judgment, because, you know, that's why these EDM festivals, EDC and all these big festivals, you know, all over the world have blown up so much these last few years, because that's exactly what they are, a non-judgmental, positive, fun atmosphere for people to just express themselves however they want, young, old, whatever. There's families with kids there. It's just amazing. Wow. It's just really amazing, and all kinds of different music and different stages and, you know, different themes and whatever. So yeah, man, this festival scene, I think, has really exploded. So it's interesting that, you know, you were involved in it. How many years ago now?
I stopped pretty much in 2017, at the end of 2017. So 4 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
Is it like Burning Man?
I haven't been to Burning Man, but yeah, that's a big one. I was going to go. And it got canceled the year that I graduated from naturopathic medical school. It's going to be my celebration, but didn't get to happen, but I'll go for sure. But I'm going to EDC Las Vegas, which is in October next month for my birthday. Wow. Yeah, that'll be awesome. But yeah, EDC Chicago 2013 was the first festival I went to and just blew my mind of like, whoa, this is going to be big. And ever since then, it's just skyrocketed, you know, all over. I mean, exponential growth in that industry. So, and it's only going to get bigger, you know, because what is there to do for an 18 to 21 to 24 year old for fun, really? Besides, I mean, especially under 21, there is really nothing. The movies, restaurants, like boring, the same usual stuff. So this is like, people that are younger, especially, just go crazy for it. You know, I have a younger sister who's 24, and her friends just freaking love it. And her Instagram is even EDM nurse, like, cause she's an RN. Wow. Like, she's so into it. And man, I have some big ideas for ways to combine my passions of music and medicine and like be a doctor, like a festival doctor, you know, and involve all of that together and have like, you know, different IVs and hydration and different things like for people at the festivals.
What has been your experience with medicine?
With music?
Like your type of medicine, like holistic, psychedelics, and, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, listen to my previous 21 episodes to learn more. But yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, I'm really passionate about holistic health. And what that means is looking at the whole picture, mind, body, spirit. It's all connected, right? And, you know, it's about getting to the root cause of what's causing somebody's issues, not just covering up the symptoms with medications or whatever surgeries. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm dissing on conventional medicine. There's a time and place for everything, right? I get in a car accident, you know, it's not the time for herbs. It's, I want the surgeries. I want the whatever hard drugs they got to give me, make it happen, you know, but you have a chronic disease, you know, maybe not so much that they're taught about for actual health, you know, like healthcare became sick care, you know, cured patients aren't very profitable patients. Right. And Absolutely. So, you know, I'm big on getting to the root cause and, you know, through all your lifestyle things, like 90% of diseases are caused by lifestyle, what you eat, how much water you drink, you know, your exercise, your movement, your sleep, huge, your relationships, your mental health, you know, your mind, body connection, all of that, your spiritual health, all of these things are important, you know? And so, yeah, I've found that mental health is the root of it oftentimes for most people. You know, you could eat all the healthy foods, drink the water, eat, you know, exercise, do all the stuff and still have issues. It's like, well, what's really going on? It's much deeper. And that's the hardest work, you know, oftentimes is getting to those root beliefs from childhood and those traumas and those painful things. But that's where the healing happens.
Yes, it does. I agree 100%. So many, very often those traumas and just crazy experiences will manifest in a part of the body.
Yep.
All that stress, all that pain. And so that's why the healing and doing the inner work is extremely important to just overcome any of those health challenges, physical challenges.
Yep. Absolutely. And you've seen that in your own health and in your family and different people in your life, you know, so it's like, you know, it's about, my vision is to educate and empower people to realize that they are their own self healers, you know, and raise the level of consciousness and realize like, oh, hey, if I just live a lifestyle in line with nature, then I just start to heal. Myself, because our bodies are self-healing organisms, you know, we have an innate intelligence that is, you know, you cut your hand, who's doing the healing? Self-healing. why is it any different for diabetes, right? Type 2 diabetes especially is extremely reversible just by your lifestyle, your nutrition, your exercise. I've seen it time and time again, but that's not the current medical model because insulin is very expensive.
Very profitable.
Very profitable. Very so profitable.
So is chemo, right?
Yep. Yep. It's one of the biggest kickbacks that doctors get, unfortunately, for prescribing it. So conflict of interest a little bit. Yeah. You know,
a lot of it. Definitely.
A lot of it. I actually decided, Jorge, I'm announcing it right here that I'm writing a book about that exact topic.
Wow.
A conflict of interest in money and medicine and how it conflicts with public health and all the different issues with that, the history of medicine, and then how natural medicine is the answer to the paradigm shift.
Is that the title, A Conflict of Interest?
I don't know yet. That could be. I'll take suggestions.
Yeah, that's, I was like, whoa. No, man, I think it's so great. And I think it's so important that, you know, one of the interesting things that kind of ties this podcast together is, in the last few years and months and weeks, there's been so many people joining the Real System coaching program because of health issues. And their doctor told them, like, hey, this autoimmune disease is only going to get worse. You need to stop working. You need to do this. You need to do this. You can't be under stress, right? And then they just give them a $7,000 a month medication. Yep. And so they're coming to me saying, like, hey, I need to start learning how to make passive income because I can't really work anymore. I can't be under stress. I need to learn how to stop trading time for money. Yep. But it's really interesting how so many people with health challenges are coming now to learn how to create passive income. Isn't that crazy?
You know, it really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, because if your finances aren't in line, that's an aspect of your health as well. Because if you're struggling financially, how do you think your health is going to be? You're stressed out constantly in this survival mode.
The mental health is crazy.
Yep.
I think for everyone, but sometimes even a little more for men as like providers, right?
Right.
We feel like, and I know because I have friends, you know, that are maybe struggling financially and they feel like they can't be in a relationship. They're like, I don't have a home to offer, especially like men in their mid and later 30s, right? Or 40s when they feel like their finances aren't together.
Yep.
They feel like they don't have anything to offer. Not everybody, but again, some. And then that takes a huge mental health. And it's like, man, if I can't provide for someone, like, why am I even here? And like, man, it goes really, really deep. It's so crazy.
Yep. Yep. You know, that male suicide is the most common, and it's 25 to 35 year old white males often that committed. And it's just like, there's this big masculinity problem. I just took this course with Rodrigo talking all about man up and, you know, the masculinity. And
I took that workshop too.
Yeah. Amazing, man. Powerful. And it's just so fascinating and so interesting. And that's what I realized as a naturopathic doctor and as a more balanced male, I'm very in touch with my feminine, but I can still be that strong, dominant, you know, but I'm in touch with my emotions and I'm very sensitive and I'm, you know. So it's, I have that duty, I realize, to be that example for other men to show that, like, hey, this is okay to talk about these things and to be open about mental health and get rid of the stigma and all these topics I'm into, cannabis, psychedelics, all these things. I realize mental health, sex, they're all stigma, taboo topics, you know, but it's important to be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very important topic. I mean, I've had, one of my really good friends committed suicide like about 3 years ago.
Wow.
And I know that it had a lot to do with finances because he was like a mid-30s Asian, Chinese. Mm-hmm. And just was struggling with finances. And there was other things going on that I think a lot of people didn't know, including myself.
Yeah.
He just jumped off a 10-foot building in downtown LA, committed suicide. And it's crazy because he's the one that actually introduced me to like online courses. And it was his idea. Like, it's funny. I still have this email that he sent me in 2017. He was like, hey man, why don't we start doing seminars together and coaching people? we can call it the six figure something. And so we started doing these in-person events in downtown LA. We would rent one of those WeWork spaces, and then we do these like free workshops. And that's kind of how I started hosting events with him.
Wow.
And it was crazy. Very, very young and bright person. But yeah, again, going back to the mental health, the pressures, financial health. He had a lot of health challenges and financial challenges. And I think a lot of pressure from his parents being a Chinese male in his 30s who didn't have it together, didn't have, I don't know whatever his parents wished that he had.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever that means together, right? According to somebody's
expectations. Whatever that means.
Yeah. And like, I understand that. I'm 34. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids, but I don't feel that pressure at all, because I feel like age is such a mental thing. You know, like people have straight up tell me, they think I look 25. I'm like, what? Really? Like, I'll take that. And I feel like I'm 23. So.
No, it really is. I meet people all the time who they feel, I'm 40. I'm going to start dying faster now. And like,
right.
Just go, like this depression. And I've always felt like I still feel like I'm in my 20s, because I work out, I eat right, I have high levels of energy.
Yep.
And I feel like, man, like life is like just getting started. Like we're just not even prime yet. And like, I genuinely feel younger, more energized than I ever did. And I'm also 34. Yes. But again, people our age who already feel like kind of defeated, or they're not going to be able to find that perfect person or business or career. And I agree that it's absolutely mental. It's always a mindset game.
Absolutely. And that's something that all these great people that you've learned from and followed from over the years, and same with me, Robert Kiyosaki and Rich Dad Poor Dad and his whole series, and Tony Robbins and everything he teaches. I know there's a lot there. We could do a whole podcast just about those guys, but what are some of your favorite nuggets or things that you really like make sure people want to get from these guys,
As you were mentioning that, I thought of like a couple things that I always say that I know I got somewhere from someone, but one of my favorite ones was from Chris Lee. Did you have Chris Lee?
No, I didn't. My friend did it before, after me though.
So when I walked into the basic training at MITT, I forgot what the question was, but he asked if anybody wanted to share. And so I stood up and I was like, yeah, I feel that, who I am is getting in the way of who I want to become. Right. And I was like, that seems pretty logical. And then he said, actually, who you have become is getting in the way of who you've always been. And I was like, what? I was like, can you say that again? He's like, yeah, like who you have become is getting in the way of who you've always been. He said, when you were 3 years old, and he was asking everybody, he said, what did you have that you don't have now? And people started mentioning all these words. And he said, freedom. He said, when you were like 3 years young, the most authentic version of yourself, you didn't care about what people thought about you. You didn't care if you fell off the bike or fell running. You would just get back up. Like you wouldn't think like, oh, if I do this, they're going to judge me. Or there wasn't like this fear or doubt or insecurity. Like you just had complete freedom. And you were just everything, just a ball, just love, right? Compassion. And you would just go for it. And over the years, what happened from then to now, right? I don't know, someone passed away, families, parents got divorced, or a physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, traumatic experience that changed your life for the worse based on how you chose to perceive the experience.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, all of this makes so much sense. And he said, yeah, I said, most of you are not really here to learn, but to unlearn all the things that don't serve you.
Right.
That's kind of how it just opened up this whole like an Amazon of opportunities of just unlearning. And really the whole 4.5 months of experience there was just unlearning all the bad habits, the limiting beliefs, and even, all the ways that we thought, hey, that's the only way this can be possible, even if it wasn't a good way. And it's almost like shedding off the armor so you can just be free.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the small group leaders noticed, must have noticed that I was very like closed off and guarded. And he said, a bruised heart is better than a caged heart. And I was like, ooh, like when he said that, it kind of stung, but inspired me at the same time. I was like, yeah. And then he's, you know, he said that when you have a caged heart, yes, you're trying to protect yourself and keep out all the bad, but in doing so, you also keep out all the good. And you rob yourself and rob others of your greatness, the greatest version of yourself. Like you're not you're just not going to be the greatest version of yourself with everybody you come in contact with because you're so guarded and you keep everybody at arm's distance. So it was a long answer, but that's like probably one of the biggest takeaways that I hope people hear listening to this, that it resonates and they start to question like, hey, what are some of the things that don't serve me that I need to let go of?
Yeah. Yep. And like you said, very well said, man. Beautiful. And like you said, in your book, Breaking Through, emotional intelligence is having an open heart. And that's what it's about, is uncovering all that stuff, unlearning, letting go of the traumas, letting go of the pain, you know, letting go of a lot of these beliefs, kind of changing your perception of these beliefs and opening up your heart completely. And from that vulnerability, I mean, magic can happen, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because 99 or 98% of all murders, killing, rapes, all like just the craziest shit that happens in the world is men, done, caused by men.
Right.
And so in one of the trainings, I think it was the relationship course, the trainer said, a man with an open heart can heal the world. Mm-hmm. And my advanced training, like I am a ballerina, right? And being a ballerina is all about having an open heart.
And me too.
I'm not surprised, right? And it's all about just complete vulnerability.
Yep.
And it just becomes, it's just so powerful because I also am somebody that even more so now is very balanced in my feminine. I carry a lot of feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And can very easily tap into it when I need to. And just as well, like with my masculine, but I'm very, very in touch with my emotions. That's where intuition comes from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, being vulnerable, open heart is just powerful, powerful in and of its own.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm a fan of psychedelic assisted therapy that's been going on and the research and all this resurgence of all of this, you know, plant medicine that's been used for thousands of years all over the world, you know, one of the things that they've realized in the brain studies and things is that psychedelics put you in this like childlike state to where you're like a child again, like you said, 3 years old. They say up until about 5 years old, children are naturally in this like childlike, like almost psychedelic type tripping state. Just that's their reality. And then it's society and all the things that happen and this, and you got to conform, and you got to be this way. And all these things that we get taught and we learn that kind of chip away at that, you know, but psychedelics get you back into that state. And for a moment, you know, so that you can experience again, deep in your heart, what it's like to be open and to be free from all these traumas and to be, you know, back to love again and not in fear, and all of these things. And so that's why people are able to heal dramatically. You know, like one session can be like the same of 10 years of talk therapy. I mean, you know, people are healing from all these crazy mental health things. So the results are there, and it's just really exciting, you know, because it really is. I'm in a lot of association groups with like psychiatrists, psychologists, different therapists, and people that, you know, are really doing this work. And, you know, they all talk about how it's definitely the future of mental health care. And I think even beyond that. So it's exciting. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, man. I love it. I think that's very powerful. Being able to go to those times and just heal all those wounds, or
yep.
Like, I lost my dad when I was 12 from alcohol, and so I carry so much trauma and so much pain, and I feel like a lot of that manifested in my back problems.
Yep.
And so being able to go back and just really heal and like rekindle that relationship and realize that it's always been there, and just letting go of any resentment that maybe I wasn't even aware of, or abandonment issues, which were impacting business relationships, intimate relationships. Because at the time when he passed away, I created this story that commitment equaled pain.
Mm.
Therefore, if anybody was getting, you know, there was a lot of great people that I attracted who wanted to grow in business or personally with me, but I would just keep them, you know, at an arm's distance. And I was like, nope, no one's going to get that close again, because that could equal pain. Mm-hmm. But then I missed out on so much, where now I'm just an open book and an open heart. And, you know, I would rather get to fully experience everything there is to experience while we're, you know, here in the physical.
Yeah, man. Beautiful. Yeah. Like you said, I haven't heard that one before. A bruised heart is better than a caged heart. That's exactly it. That's it right there. And, you know, it's about, if I had to put it in a nutshell, it's about getting out of your head and your mind and getting into your heart, dropping down into your body, into your heart, and be, you know, we're human beings. We're not human doings, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's about that, like, balance and relaxation. And, you know very well the entrepreneur, real estate, business mogul life of like, go, 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 go. It's like, hey, nobody on their deathbed wishes they worked more, right?
Absolutely.
So it's about that balance. And you know very well how to enjoy life and take vacations. And, you know, I appreciate that about you and acknowledge that in you.
Yeah, we've been going on vacations a lot. And, you know, just yesterday I was looking for a mobile barber. And so I went on Yelp and I found this guy that has the Mercedes, what do you call it? The Sprinters.
Uh-huh,
and I was like, wow, like I saw these pictures, and he'll park outside your house in this huge, huge, like 26 foot Sprinter.
Awesome.
And you go into this, you know, the Sprinter, and, you know, of course he has a chair, and then he offers you a drink, and there's AC. Then there's like the music and the energy. And I was just like, am I having a dream right now? And then like, I did it was a full spa treatment. Like, it was so much more than just a haircut. And it lasted like 90 minutes. And I told him, I was like, dude, I literally feel like $1 billion. And I feel like I went in, I feel like I just completed a 6-hour spa, like just so relaxed. My energy was high. And I was like, oh my God. And, you know, like, I didn't even care about how much it cost, because it was about, you know, like self-love. It was about, that experience was about filling my cup, because all I do is take care of other people. Right. And
right.
So I become really good at creating that balance. Like, every week we do cupping, acupuncture, massage therapy, chiropractic. Like, we have people come to the house, at least twice a week, like one of like those two of those many holistic, you know, services. And it's just part of that self-love and filling up our own cup. And yeah, I just felt so good. And it's funny, because I had an appointment and I was like, you know what? Fuck the appointment. I was like, this is about me right now. And like they say, right, the heart has to be selfish and absorb all the best quality of blood, and then pushes out everything else. But if it didn't, then it would die, and then all the other organs would die, and it's the same thing. And so I think it's very important to be conscious of, you know, putting ourselves first before our spouses, before our kids, because if you don't, then you have nothing left.
Yep. Put on your oxygen mask first before you help others, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. That's spot on. I agree 100%. That's amazing. You just got to add a naturopathic doctor to that team now.
There you go. Actually, well, remember I told you that we actually did work someone for that 21-day cleanse. And did
oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was like a naturopathic, holistic, all about everything that came back. It was all about using, basically everything was natural in foods. There was nothing about like, oh, you need to take this medication. Everything was very normal, very few ingredients, very natural.
Yep.
And, but yeah, man, I'm sure there's so much more that I can, you know, learn from you.
Oh yeah, there's always more. There's always more. We don't know what we don't know, right?
And the more you know, the more you realize, the more you know you don't know you know.
Exactly.
The more you know, the more you know you don't know you know. There's just always more. Like it's an onion. It's like transformation and emotional intelligence. Like there's really no graduation. There's no end point. There's no finish line. Just the more you peel off the layers, the more you heal, the more transformation, the more impact, the more fulfillment, the more everything.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Like the rapper Meek Mill said, there's levels to this shit.
New levels, new devils.
Yes, sir. So tell me a little bit about real estate, man, and Airbnb. Tell me about why you love it so much. You know, why you think people should get into it, you know, a little bit about the real system, you know, whatever you want to talk about. I know that's your area of expertise.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to, you know, create passive income, financial freedom, wealth. And again, like we're playing this game, right? While we're here in the physical. Mm-hmm. And part of that game is, hey, you got to pay rent or a mortgage. If you want to get around, you need a car, you need a phone. And so it takes money. And I think that the biggest problem, I was looking at this video yesterday and they were saying how, I forgot what year it was, but they said, oh yeah, during this year, the average employee was making $4 an hour and the cost of housing was XYZ. And that was like 50 years ago. But from then to now, it's like the gap has become like 26 times bigger, where the wages of the average employee or minimum wage only like quadrupled, but the price of real estate was like 27x. And so it's for so many people today, it's pretty much impossible to be able to afford a mortgage payment in a good neighborhood. And so most people, you know, they end up just renting their whole life and, you know, owning a home, even if it's your personal residence, like you could buy something at, you know, I don't know, maybe today at 800,000, but by the time you get to retirement age, it's probably worth like 3 or 4 million, you know, like you could sell it and then go live in the Amazons of Colombia or I don't know, something, right?
Peru.
But I just feel like, yeah, Peru. I just feel like, yeah, Machu Picchu or something. I just feel like real estate is such a powerful wealth creation, and it's something that can help you again create, you know, first step is, you know, financial freedom, having a passive income that covers all of your living expenses. And then from there, start to, you know, become a millionaire and create that wealth creation. There's a quote I saw yesterday that said, most people work for the weekend. I'm working for three generations.
Love that. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just that, you know, 90% of all millionaires have been created through specifically owning and holding real estate. And I think the way the education system works, as you already know from Rich Dad, is designed to enslave people through a paycheck and go to school, get a degree, and then pretty much work until you're 67. And then retire on 40% of the income, which was never enough to live off of in the first place. And I think that the only way to combat that is to build a business and to invest. Mm-hmm. That's it. And again, so many people today are having to work 14, 16 hour shifts because they have to, not because they're choosing to. And that's taking a huge mental health, like impacting their mental health.
Yep.
Physical, emotional, spiritual. They don't have time to cook, so they're eating out and they're eating crap. They don't have time to work out because they got to work. They don't have time to spend time with their kids. So they're literally just working to put a roof over their heads and to pay for the car that they need to get to work. I mean, it's just like this crazy, crazy cycle.
Yep.
And people are going just crazy. And so I think that when you learn and educate yourself about entrepreneurship, passive income, real estate, it gives you a avenue to play the game that we're playing of money, but in a way where you can get paid for an outcome and a result rather than for the hour. And by doing so, you could travel, you could do whatever you want, when you want, with whom you want, how often you want, and money continues to come in. Whereas in a job, right, you stop working, money stops coming in. And then the way Airbnb plays a role is that, again, most people are not in a position to go out and buy a property or buy multiple properties. But a lot of people are in a position where they have maybe 10, 15, 20K, and they can start a vacation rental Airbnb business without buying properties, right? You can rent a property. Mm-hmm. And this is called, you know, for anyone not familiar, it's called Airbnb arbitrage or Airbnb subleasing. It's where you rent a property from an owner, get permission in writing, and then you launch it as a vacation rental. And of course, there's a bunch of softwares and ways that we can see, hey, you know, in this part of San Diego, properties are making $8,000 a month, and you can rent a similar property for $3,000 or $4,000 a month, and you can double your money. And it's just been really powerful. A lot of the people that come into the program, they're 9-to-5ers who are looking to start their first. Some people are looking to start the next business, and they want to get their feet wet and start getting that experience with like Airbnb.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing. And yeah, I mean, like you said, 90% of millionaires have some kind of real estate. And that's what I've, you know, learned and read too, is that anybody with real financial wealth has some type of real estate. So it just makes sense. And, you know, residential and Airbnb and all of that is exciting because something I'm big into, disruptive innovation. Airbnb is a big disruptive innovation to the hotel industry. Like, they're not a big fan, just like how, you know, taxi companies weren't a big fan of Uber. They tried to fight them in the courts and everything, and they lost. And that's, you know, Blockbuster didn't like Netflix, but, you know, it's, and so that's what happens.
Yeah, it's powerful. Yeah, there's so much opportunity. Like you said, Airbnb is the largest hotel in the world, and they don't own any hotels. Uber is the largest taxi company in the world, and they don't own any cars. Yep. So it's just that disruptive, innovative technology. And, you know, the average real estate investor, when they go the traditional way, their goal is to make about $200 a door. But with Airbnb, you can make $2,000 a door. It's like 10X, and that's without down payments, without closing costs. So I feel like it's just I really believe it's the best way to create financial freedom. You can literally get two Airbnbs and start making a six-figure positive cash flow a year business. And then from there, build to whatever. Or somebody, you know, I've had people that come in and they're like, hey, I want to create financial freedom so I can leave my 9-to-5 so I can do what I really want to do, whatever that may be. Maybe they're passionate about a nonprofit or whatever it may be, but this would give them then the freedom to not have to be physically clocking in somewhere, trading time for money.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Because the way that you teach about, you know, how to make it automated and how to get the system, well, you work on the business, not in the business. Right. And the whole E-Myth Revisited and all of that, which is really, you know, important to learn about, because you can easily get stuck in like, well, I'll do all the repairs, I'll do everything, I'll clean it sometimes. It's like, well, why do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about working on the business, not in the business. Because a lot of people, whether it's Airbnb or any business for that matter, they decide to start a business, but really they become self-employed. They're wearing all the hats in the business.
Right.
They have no leverage, no scalability. If they stop working, money stops coming in. So it's like when I had my dance business, it's basically a job, and there's nothing wrong with having a job. It's just that, or running the business like a job, but now you're limited to how many people, right? Like if you're a doctor, mm-hmm. And someone is only doing one-on-one consultations, well, hey, there's a million other people out there that could use. So again, if you were create a course or offer group coaching or offer an in-person 3-day experience where there's 40 people, right? You can impact 40 people's lives. So again, I think that's why we got to think as entrepreneurs, just think bigger, think leverage, think group, because you can share the information so much faster than just one-on-one. And so again, all these business principles, again, they're applicable into any industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you just said, you know, I've mentioned to you before, but it's like, here's the universe coming in and attracting. Like one of my big visions is to make retreats happen, you know, like naturopathic, sanitarium style, everything's included, you know, all the food, all the Kangen water, all the cannabis psychedelics, if you need them. you know, everything, yoga, acupuncture, meditation, breath work, like all the stuff. So yeah, I think,
I win.
Oh yeah. You're amazing. By when? That's a really good question, man. I'm going to do my first test trial, like practice one at an Airbnb. Maybe we can talk by the end of this year.
Yeah. You know, it's so good to, I think, the other day I was listening to a video of Tai Lopez, and he was reading this book of, I forgot what, like one of the greatest entrepreneurs, innovators in the 1900s. Mm-hmm. And in the book, it was saying that the skills are like nowhere near as important as these two components. And it was speed and your ability to pivot. Mm. And so I think back to when I hosted my very first in-person workshop, a three-day workshop, and it was called the Jorfany Weekender, right? So okay. I'm Jorge, my wife is Stephanie, and together we're Jorfany. And that was like our brand. And there was three things that, you know, we always have been and continue to be very passionate about. And it's, you know, plant-based lifestyle, like relationship coaching, and real estate investing. And so we did the first ever Jorfany Weekender. And that's what we did, right? My wife cooked vegan food all weekend long. There was uh-huh. people that they were like, oh my God, this is the longest I've gone without eating, you know, meat. And then other days we literally did healing just like we do in MITT that I facilitated. And it was crazy breakthroughs wow. happening. And amazing. Then on the last day, the last day was all real estate investing. And so now everything I do is just Airbnb because I learned about being able to niche and how mm-hmm. to become a good fish in a small pond. But the important thing is like doing that workshop that was nowhere near to what we're doing now is what got us to where we are. Mm-hmm. That's again, speed is all about picking a date and having the most imperfect event ever. And then it's like, oh, I can do this better. I can do that better. And pivoting. And then boom, next thing you know, you have this huge company where you're healing and transforming like hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people's lives. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear all about your first event.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you. Yeah. That's the vision, man. You know, an international chain of these retreats. That's where I'm looking. Yeah, good man. Pick. Yep. So, wow. I've really enjoyed this, man. I want to let you just, you know, say whatever else is on your mind, whatever you'd like to share with everybody listening and, you know, drop some nuggets of, wisdom for us all, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I think one of the things I'd like to, like some final thoughts is, question everything. Mm-hmm. I've always been one to like, why is this the way, like, why is this that way? Why is that that way? And just growing up, I just learned to question everything from marriage, money, health, religion, like just everything, just question it. Because growing up, sometimes we are like indoctrinated maybe into a certain religion. And then we're like, oh my God, there's so many other religions. Like, and they all say that theirs is the way. So technically, like which one, right? It's just right. question religion. Question the way money is made, follow the money, question the health industry or the sick industry, like watch documentaries, follow podcasts, right? Just like Adrian's and many out there mm-hmm. and just educate, question, educate. Cause I feel like that's how new things are discovered. And I feel like one of the things that me and my wife have done is we really just designed a life by design rather than living by default. And I feel like a lot of people live by default. Like, yep. like sometimes people become a nurse because their parents were nurses and they told them to go become a nurse, or they told them like, hey, you need to follow this religion or make money this way. And I feel like our parents already got to live their lives. Now it's time for each and every one of us to live our own life. And by questioning everything, we will find that there may be a bigger, better, faster, more efficient way to live life in every aspect. And that's about it. That's about it. Question and then go out there and educate yourself.
Yeah. Beautiful. I agree 100%. And, you know, like I keep saying lately, keep an open mind and keep an open heart. to everything, to new ideas, to things maybe you haven't heard, different perspectives. You don't know what you don't know, like we said, right? So that's all I ask of people. And yeah, I really enjoyed having you on the episode, on the show, man, and appreciate you and everything that you do for me and for everybody that lives you've impacted. And the ripple effect, man, is just, like you said, is just the beginning. So
thank you, brother.
Appreciate really you. Grateful for you, bro. I love you and can't wait to get to create so much more, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. We'll be right back.